This is How Success Happens, where the staff of Entrepreneur chats with innovators, writers, artists, chefs, and a range of other unique personalities to better understand the traits that make excellence possible.
Nobody in Silicon Valley thinks it's actually them. They think everybody else is like this.
One of my regrets actually now, we should have pulled the plug sooner.
It's amazing when the universe sees you commit, how all of a sudden all these resources start to come together.
Thanks for joining us. And now, How Success Happens.
Meet Ned Fulmer, Keith Habersberger, Zach Kornfeld, and Eugene Li Yang. Together, the four friends and collaborators are the Try Guys. They are the creators of an award-winning comedy documentary series that has seen them get outside their comfort zones and try just about anything, from labor pain simulators to dog sledding in Alaska. In June of 2018, they started their independent production company, Second Try, with the aim of creating even more projects with the philosophy that being open to new experiences just makes you a better person. Now entering into their second year of business, the guys are about to embark on what they have dubbed the Summer of Try. They recently launched a new podcast called Naturally, the Tripod, and their first nationwide tour, Legends of the Internet, begins on June 21st in Los Angeles. And on June 18th, the Try Guys will release their first book, titled The Hidden Power of Fucking Up. We'll hear more from the guys about their entrepreneurial journey, but first, a word from our sponsor.
This episode of How Success Happens has been brought to you by The Hartford, where they understand that there is nothing small in small business. As a small business owner, you're busy and you have a ton of big decisions to make. The last thing you want to do is worry about your small business insurance. The Hartford offers a wide range of small business insurance products so you can keep focused on what you've built, knowing they've got your back. Learn more at thehartford.com/smallbusiness.
And now for our second sponsor.
Become an Entrepreneur Insider member and join an online community created by the editors of Entrepreneur Magazine dedicated to helping its members grow their businesses and achieve their goals. As a member, you'll be connected with the smartest entrepreneurs and experts and have access to critical resources and a network of peers that can help you stay on track. Every week, members can participate in exclusive online workshops, fireside chats, networking roundtables, and office hours with our experts and editors. Visit entrepreneur.com/insider to see a full schedule of our upcoming events and learn more about this members-only program. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/insider.
So I guess just to, since you're all here, if you could all just introduce yourselves before we get started so everyone can kind of like note your voices as we go on.
Sure. You're listening to Keith Habersberger. I'm Ned Fulmer.
I'm Eugene Li Yang.
And I'm Zach Kornfeld, and we are the Try Guys.
Great. So just to start, if you guys could kind of take me back to the beginning before the channel officially launched, what were you excited about? Like, what was keeping you up at night? Like, what was kind of going through your heads before that first video launched 8 months ago?
Well, the first 2 months, April and May, were really about creating an infrastructure to create the channel. We knew that when we launched our channel, we needed to have a lot of videos ready to go because we wanted to start out the gate ambitious with 2 videos a week. So to do that, we had the shooting about 1 day after we left BuzzFeed. I think that's when our first shoot was. And, you know, we slowly built our staff up over those couple months. But for a while, it was really just the four of us with one producer. We were shooting each other on our cameras. A few weeks in, we got some PAs to help us out. Then we got an editor. So we sort of slowly grew kind of as we could afford to grow.
And in those early days, we weren't making any money. So that was something that was keeping us up at night is we kept more and more of our own money. And when Keith says we hired an editor, we hired another producer, that those were just people that we needed. We knew we needed to help us, but did not actually know if we were going to be able to make the money to make it all work.
Our biggest challenge was that we knew we wanted to increase the quantity of releases, but we also wanted to keep and increase the quality. We were coming from working at a company and now we're independent, but we didn't want the content to miss a step at all. And so a lot of our first couple months and really this first year has been about migrating an audience, finding a new audience, and above all, building a sense of community.
And sort of talking about building that infrastructure, like what have you guys learned about being bosses and leaders and what's needed to run your company?
I'll hand this one over to Ned, who we sort of early elected to be the full boss, even though we're all bosses.
Yeah, I had some management experience at BuzzFeed. I created their fellowship program and was able to hire upwards of 30 full-time video employees there. And that was kind of a crash course in learning people management. But I think the biggest change when you're completely running the show is when everything is focused around the Try Guys brand, our own time management became a big challenge. We tried to delegate as much as possible, yet there were still so many things that required one of us in person, either helping out, reviewing something, or on camera. So that finding the proper structures to be able to delegate our own work and to create a community around that, those are some big early challenges. I think that trusting that other awesome creative people are going to come and take what you do and make it even better, I think that is something that is always difficult.
And so I'm sure that you guys do a lot of different types of videos and series. Like, what kind of goes into organizing your time and goes into maybe even a given week or a given video?
Oh, wow. Every week feels different, if to be fully transparent. But typically, we have brainstorm sessions coming up with different video series. We're kind of looking at our schedules and trying to make sure one of us is the lead of a video at a time, so that no one is like, it's not like Keith is handling all the videos for June. It's really, we try to even out who's leading the videos, but also we're slowly trying to have our editors and other producers be a little more autonomous. But, you know, a typical week is that we shoot a couple times a week. We are looking over all of our edits. We're looking at other businesses we want to create inside this business that are creating pitches for other projects. And we've luckily, in the year that we've been doing this about, we've gotten to a realistic 9-to-6 day. Mm-hmm. Although I think our first months were more like 8 a.m. until midnight every day, and that includes Saturday and Sunday. So we have successfully gotten into a normal work day and work week, which is really great.
Congratulations.
But in our structure, video production itself has taken a passenger seat to a lot of other projects that we have sort of responsibility over and have delineated roles to. So we are not only for our YouTube channel, but also pitching out TV projects, working on the book that we just announced that releases in June. Mm-hmm. We also are planning different things like a upcoming podcast that's going to go live and have a tour, and it's doing live touring. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So while maintaining a YouTube and digital presence is extremely hard and could be anyone's full-time job, I believe the entrepreneurial aspect has challenged us to think of it as potentially a countless number of jobs that luckily we can distribute between the four of us, but in the end, all of us have to have some sort of group autonomy over. And so it's been a big lesson, not only in becoming a leader, but also managing one's own skills and taste levels and expectations within a group that's collaborative. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a sort of four-headed monster that's worked for us for a long time, but now is running away. And we feel that at the very least, we have this great accountability system where anything that comes up creatively or within the business has the checks and balances between the four of us.
Yeah, and kind of going off that, why do you think that you guys work so well together?
There really is a shared vision. I mean, we came up and really grew together, and so we have this shared vocabulary, shared understanding, and a shared, but there are also, I think we make each other better in the ways that we're different. So our backgrounds are really diverse in the content that we enjoy, the content that we aspire to make. And so I think the best version of this is that we pick up where the others maybe aren't as strong, and we balance each other, we challenge each other. I think for any creative partnership, it's important to surround yourself with people that can challenge you intelligently and creatively. I'm a huge movie buff, and you see again and again, anytime a big director hits it, his next movie, the studio, everyone in the world trusts them, no one challenges them, and then it's the biggest flop. You know, George Lucas makes Howard the Duck. So right. I personally really thrive on surrounding myself with people that I trust, who can challenge me and can say, no, Zach, this is a bad idea. Here's why. Or have you thought of it this way? So we're constantly pushing each other, and we have that trust and respect that I think makes all of us better. You know, we're greater than the sum of our parts, for sure.
I would actually use an analogy that a lot of CEO types or company leaders are the head chef in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And we started this brand with four head chefs. And so we have this, like, you know, in the end, the head chefs know that they have to learn from their sous chefs, they have to learn from their team. And that's a huge learning curve for them. And we were thrust into that with the very first video we made together. So a lot, as intensely as we get along and really love what we do, we also intensely disagree and challenge every single notion that one person has. So I would say that really the sign of a great leadership is being open to disagreement and really being open to that debate to make sure that every single product that comes out is at its utmost potential.
Kind of a broader question, but what do you guys want, for people who may not be familiar, want the kind of company and the brand to represent?
Ooh, to represent. Well, our philosophy, our whole philosophy is that the world could be better if more people tried more things and were more open to failing. There's so much growth in failure. And, you know, there's a reason that we're not the success guys, we're the try guys. In every video, we don't master anything that we try.
Yeah.
But that's not the point. By going in and simply trying and failing or doing okay, you're being open to a new experience and like broadening your horizons just makes you a better person. And we have seen that we have become such smarter, more emotional, more sensitive people as we've grown and tried, you know, the 200 things we've tried. And we want to really encourage that idea to others. And in all of the stuff that we do, we want to, you know, keep that freshness of going into something with an open mind, being respectful, giving it your all. And if you totally suck at it, that's okay. It's not about how well you do. It's about you learning and trying something new.
And that vision is something that can outlast just shows that involve the four of us. So we really see the Try Guys as not just one YouTube show with the four of us trying new things, but really an idea, a brand that can have multiple shows, multiple different types of formats that are all around that idea of being open to new experiences.
Do you have any kind of favorite or least favorite things that you tried on all 200 that you've attempted?
Favorite or least favorite? You know, this isn't the answer you're looking for. Weirdly, the worst something is in the moment, the more fond my memories are of it. I mean, we were stranded on a life raft in the open ocean, like while turbulent waves made Keith vomit. And that's one of my fondest memories in life. So I think there's probably a life lesson in there is that the harder the hardship, the more formulative it is and the better you're able to look back on it. Is there anything that I really, truly hated trying?
I don't know if we hated trying anything.
Because at the end of the day, even if you don't like something, you have to respect and understand that it means something to someone. We're never trying something for the pure spectacle alone. We're never trying. I mean, look, we did a labor pain simulation with electrodes. I'm not going to go ahead and say that was a delightful experience, but it was a meaningful experience and it taught me a lot. And I cherish the experience because I cherish what it taught me about the world and how it helped me connect with people.
Yeah, of course.
So everything that we do, it's important that we're doing it for a reason, that it really matters to someone. And so even if it's not a fun experience, they're all important experiences. And I think they've made us all better people. But now we're looking on YouTube to see if we actually truly hated anything. Give us a moment.
No, take your time.
I don't think there's anything we hated.
No.
I think we've had a lot of really unique brand opportunities. Like we've raced dog sleds on a glacier in Alaska. I mean,
that's
you are actually a mile away from your crew and it's just you and a pack of dogs and there is a drone filming you, but you are totally surrounded by snowy mountains. It's just like, and there's no sound other than the dogs and you. It really feels like you've time traveled to another person's life at another time. And it's just, that is probably, and stuff like that is probably among the best experiences because so few people in the world get to experience that. We're incredibly lucky that what we've created allows us that experience because who else can say that they've been alone with a team of dogs on a glacier and, you know, had that moment of like, whoa, this is crazy. What is my life? What is happening? This is so nuts.
Also, watch out for all the crevasses, because if you fall in, there's no getting you out.
Yeah, we had an hour-long safety piece. Probably that was the worst. The hour-long safety class before we went on the glacier that told us how we could die.
Like 14 ways we could die.
Well, the reason we did the video is because more people in the world experience it, which is dog sledders.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the end, the point of the idea of not hating anybody would be done is we've explicitly ventured into topics that someone in the world relates to because it's part of their life. Mm-hmm. So if we hate something, probably won't ever make a video about it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Ooh, we tried all the food at Trump Grill once. That was awful. That was the worst thing we've done. His menu is as bad as his policies.
Well, I think I watched, didn't you guys go to the march right after?
Yeah. The women's march, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully that was the same day, but yeah.
Yeah.
Same day, but yeah. Right, because we filmed the day that he, there was his inauguration, yeah. The Women's March next day.
But in, you know, yeah, we went to the Women's March right after.
And I was sort of shifting to like all those kind of different projects you were talking about. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about kind of your experience with Patreon and why you decided to create one as part of kind of the infrastructure of the new business.
Well, you know, when we left BuzzFeed and we went independent, something that we knew we had was a really strong fan base. But what was weird about being a BuzzFeed is that we didn't know exactly how many fans we had. So BuzzFeed has a 16 million subscriber platform, and which, I mean, we're doing really well. We hope to get that big as well. We loved working at BuzzFeed, but we had like 3 million on Facebook. So we knew, well, there's somewhere between 3 million and 16 million people, but I don't know how many of those people would want to support us directly. But we looked into Patreon. It seemed like a really good idea. And it, like, what could be the harm in strengthening a fan relationship and having them directly benefit our business? And since we were starting out and we didn't know if we were going to be profitable, anything that we could have done that was going to help us build a successful enterprise and channel, we wanted to do. So Patreon was awesome. They met with us. We talked about all the strategies that we could do to build a strong fan base. And since we've done it, it has been an amazing platform for us in that we've used it so much as a testing ground for our podcasts, for a new series, for bonus content. Mm-hmm. We have a great Discord, which is full of people who are just chatting about everything. I mean, they've built out almost 100 chat rooms on their own of things they're discussing, sharing like fan art and pitching ideas for videos. I mean, even in the first couple months when we didn't have much of a staff, we were using them to do quality control on our videos. Like, I taught our Patreons how to look for flash frames and like technical errors in videos.
They were so excited and eager to help, which has been really fun. I think for us, it really boiled down to two things up top. One, because we were just pouring our own money into this, you know, somewhat speculatively, our patrons and Patreon was really essential for allowing us to exist in the beginning and allowing us to grow at the rate that we did. Without their support, I don't think we would have been able to grow as quickly. And then really, the huge underlying theme of everything we've been doing with this new channel is building community, building a family around doing the sense of trust and this back and forth. And so Patreon is really the home front where we're building a connection to the people that enjoy our content.
And that's something you just can't have when you're part of a larger company.
And just kind of going forward, I know the book is coming out this summer. Like, what are you guys excited about for the future of the company and the channel?
Oh, wow. You know, we see our channel as a testing ground for shows. That's what we like to think of ourselves as we are, as we used to work for a viral video lab. We'd like to think of ourselves now as a viral show lab. We like to make show properties, and we want our channel on YouTube to be kind of like a network. You know, our long-term goal is to have different shows that are dedicated to different days of the week, different upload times, and they're seasonal, and we shift out different shows into those slots, and it feels like it's a whole network of content. So for YouTube, that's our goal there. But I mean, we really, I don't know, we kind of like want to try everything and figure it all out and and do everything. We're excited to launch this podcast. We feel like that's yet another way to let people know more about us and also express ourselves artistically in new ways. We want to take that on tour. We want to develop a live stage show. We're trying to pitch TV shows. So we really just want to build this company and, you know, enable ourselves and other talented people that we like to create really great stuff on the internet and on other platforms as well.
We're officially entrepreneurs now, so sky's the limit. We're doing it.
I think we're officially entrepreneurs because of this interview.
Yeah,
we weren't until this interview.
Yeah, until
confirmed.
This interview.
Now,
yeah. Did it. I mean, I hope in the best case scenario, we're building a company that can allow us to unlock all the creative passions that we have. There are a lot of projects we want to make, a lot of things that excite us. And if we do our jobs right over the next year and over the next several years, this company, this base will be the thing that really opens a lot of doors for a lot of fun projects we hope to deliver to our fans and the world beyond.
And I guess last question I had for you guys is sort of, what advice do you have for other creators who want to create brands and be independent and make content that resonates with people?
Something that we say a lot is to just go out and make things rather than plan them over and over again. There's there's so many opportunities for you to just grab a camera, even if it's your cell phone, and just start making things. But the thing that I've learned the most from this experience of starting a company is don't just create things by yourself. Find friends, find collaborators, find other people you can make stuff with. And those people will become your closest friends and your best collaborators.
Good advice.
And I think when people are looking to like build like a YouTube channel or a Patreon channel or just like any sort of platform, people are trying to look at someone and be like, wow, 5 million subscribers, that's so hard. How could I ever do that? Or 10 million, oh, that's so hard. That's so people. It's not that many people in the grand scheme of things. Like, you need to find the million people who like what you do and not try to make stuff that is for the million people, like the billion people out there, right? Like, there's going to be 20 million people who are interested in learning about foraging. You know, that in itself could have its own giant dynasty. There's people who love makeup, there's people who love fashion, there's people who love what we do, but there's so many ways to make content. I think sometimes people are looking at other creators and trying to copy what they do rather than thinking about what's special about them, what do they like doing, and trying to build that. Because there's always going to be millions of people who have shared interests, and you should be going after those people who are like you, not those people who are like the other people you admire. Eugene, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, you never know. It's kind of like the platinum age of television with HBO in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. It was this idea, the more specific storytelling you say, that feels like indicative of a singular experience and a very strong perspective, like The Sopranos, that never existed before. That's what got people's attention and those people who watched it fervently. So really hopping off Keith's advice, the content isn't just a brand or message that you develop yourself and then throw out into the echo chamber. It's a mirror. And the mirror that you are pointing back at yourself can be so well informed, not only by your friends and family, but by the audience members who then help lead you to understand what is most poignant for them. So even the four of us have shifted a lot in regards to the aspects of our personalities and our stories and even the way we formulate content from what people like in Patreon or the audience have said they like about us. We often like to say no one knew Ned going in was going to be the guy who was married, but some people found that very aspirational. So now he is officially one of the most famous married people. Like literally, hey, you're so... You never know what makes you special outside of that little like thing in your head that's telling you what you believe. But I think if you just become more of a person and let others in just in your regular life, you'll be surprised at how much you'll find and how you can then incorporate that into the work you put online.
That's our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. How Success Happens comes out every week. To catch each episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Like, share, and leave us a review so we can always be improving. Go to entrepreneur.com for more episodes of this show and our other great podcasts. That's entrepreneur.com. Thanks.